February is National Heart Month. And what's interesting is at the beginning of every month, we have a check-in with our American Red Cross Connecticut chapter. And what's interesting is you always think, obviously, about blood donations, which we'll get a check on that in a second. But I also want to discuss with the American Red Cross the importance of having trainings like CPR or AED training, which is something the Red Cross can provide for you. So that's kind of what I wanted to focus on for today's chat. And we are welcoming back to the show Richard Brannigan. And Richard, thank you so much for being here and especially talking about this during National Heart Month. How are you?
I'm well, Melissa. My cardiologist says I'm doing extremely well. But this is Heart Month, and you know, thank you for calling attention to this. This is an issue that we have formal training on. We train thousands of people here in Connecticut a year, but it's a local thing for caregivers to really be concerned with and to focus on for the month of February.
Well, and it's interesting, Richard, because, and you obviously could see it on the front lines and probably give us an idea, but it was a couple of years ago, I want to say it was in 2023, that this became a real topic of conversation, especially in America, when the Buffalo Bills safety, Damar Hamlin, suffered a cardiac arrest and you know, during a game. And I think you saw this uptick of people who wanted to get CPR training, especially kids as well, AED training. Do you think there's enough focus on the importance of this type of training? And do you think people are coming around to doing it more frequently? Or are we still not really seeing people invest their time and energy into this?
I think you're spot on. The Hamlin episode on national television really brought some focus into the need for training. Mm. And I think it wanes. We get distracted with a lot of other things in our lives, and we lose focus from time to time on what is important. And what's important is saving a loved one's life that might happen in your own home. And just taking a few hours to get trained, or at a minimum, going online and learning how to do compression-only CPR just keeps the blood flowing to the vital organs while the paramedics are on their way. And, you know, with average response times in local communities around 6 minutes, and we in Connecticut have the benefit of having some really amazing paramedics and first responders who are there when we need to. But if something happens to a loved one or someone you're in your own home or your child, those minutes really count for something. So getting trained, taking a few moments, and at this time of year, you know, having those skills and getting that training, what a great Valentine's Day gift for your loved ones to take the training, CPR, AED certifications, just look out for them a little bit more.
Yeah, that's so true. That is a really great idea. I have to ask something. And again, Richard Brannigan is the CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut chapter. And we're talking about the importance of CPR, AED training. You know, so after the Hamlin incident, Richard, my company immediately responded and said, we want to offer free CPR, AED training. And so I jumped on it right away. And they've, you know, kind of consistently on a yearly basis, I should say, have offered this. So I got certified months after that, and I've already gotten recertified. My question is when you get certified, that's good for what? 1, 2 years? How long is your certification good for?
Our certifications are good for 2 years. And, you know, there's a couple of different ways to do it. We have an online recertification program where you're taking the class virtually again. And then you do an in-person skills test with a certified instructor, which economizes on your time. But especially if you're recertifying, you know, you need to refresh those skills. There are new evolutions happening in the medical community occasionally. So you want to make sure that you're current every 2 years, making sure that your certifications are up to speed. And so few people are actually certified. You know, that it's really important that you take the time to care for the people around you and go for that certification and not be afraid to step into action when something happens. If someone goes down right in front of you and is unresponsive, and you start CPR, you've actually increased their probability of surviving that out-of-hospital situation or tragic situation exponentially. So stepping in and having the courage to do that, not everyone does. And so thank you for getting recertified, Melissa.
Oh, it's fine. The reason I brought it up, Richard, was honestly not even for the kudos, although I do appreciate it. I am curious if there's almost like another step that people should take with this. And I'm talking about myself. I'm certainly not shaming other people. I am so blown away when you see these news stories of especially kids or teenagers who knew how to do CPR. And the reason I say that is because they're so calm, and it's like they almost, I don't know if it's because they have almost simpler minds or because they don't worry as much. I know for myself, I will gladly share that I am neurotic. I am a mother of an elementary school child. I also work in the news. So I have I'd say there's a lot going on in my little brain up here. There's a lot happening up there. And so when I see that people can just respond in an emergency where somebody is choking or falls to the floor and you don't know what's happening and they immediately act, I find that so fascinating, because in basically any other emergency circumstance, we almost on average don't know how to respond properly. Whether it's a fire or it's a shooting or it's something like that, we almost freeze and we don't know how to respond properly to that. But CPR is different. And I wasn't sure if you could comment on that at all, or if there are things we should be doing to make sure, if God forbid you see someone choking, for example, that you act immediately and that you actually do the training that you were taught. Because I got to be honest, I've only done the training twice, the first time and then the recertification. But I don't know if I'm confident that if somebody dropped right now that I would be the person to save them. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah, so there's a lot there, Melissa, about personal courage and the willingness to step up. And I don't know that young people have that more than some others, but not everyone is willing to do that. People will stand back and they will look around for someone else to respond. If something happens in your own home to your own child, how will you be able to respond to that? And there's no time like the present to do that. We don't know when things like this are going to happen, but statistically they do. And having folks in the community, having folks in your own household that are prepared to respond and without hesitation will do so, is really our goal here, to focus on the issue and to have people discuss this around the dinner table. These are uncomfortable conversations for some folks to have. But what's more uncomfortable, you know, losing a loved one or having a difficult conversation once or twice a year? But stepping in to those situations and being willing to take command and tell somebody directly to call 911 and then have them stay on the phone and get the AED if you're in a facility that has one, knowing where the AED is, because that's the device that's going to bring life back to the heart. By doing compression CPR or doing CPR, you're going to prolong life and you're going to prolong the flow of blood to those vital organs. So getting trained is something that we really encourage people to focus on. It's not that inconvenient to do so, but you're saving lives, and that the lives you're saving may be someone you really, really care about.
Well, and like you said, Richard, I think that the training only goes so far. I think it has to be a topic of conversation. And even the idea of, like you said, if you have an AED at work, knowing exactly where it is. So, you know, maybe it's making a point to walk past it once a month just to know exactly where it is. I will say I was very happy to see that a lot of these AED machines will kind of walk you through what to do. I don't know if that's sort of the average machine, but it literally tells you what to do step by step. And that is, for people who've never used them before, it brought a lot of peace of mind, certainly in the training. I thought, oh, well, thankfully somebody's telling me what to do if, in fact, I panic. Because you're right. I think if it was my own kid or if it's somebody who it's like, man, I would take a bullet for my family. Right. So we act accordingly. And maybe that's why. But if it's, you know, if you're at a restaurant or something or somebody at work, not to say that I don't love them the same way, but you do see kind of the, okay, who's going to step up and do this? You see seconds and minutes wasted because people don't know how to respond. They freeze. So that gave me a lot of I'd say, solace knowing that the AED machine had my back and is going to walk me through it, basically.
And Melissa, the most challenging part about using an AED is taking it out of the cabinet, taking it off the shelf.
Right. True.
Once it's there, it walks you through. And then for refreshers, we in the Red Cross, we're pretty sophisticated with our technology, but simple apps. We have an emergency app that people can download. You can test your skills. You can refresh yourself in between your certification training, and that's free of charge. People can go on to the App Store, download it, and it will help you train. It will help refresh your skills and be aware of what the technology is and how to use an AED, for example, and how to do compression for CPR on a young child.
We're chatting with Richard Brannigan, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut chapter. And obviously it is National Heart Month. So we were just talking about the importance of having CPR and AED training. I do also, though, want to talk with you, Richard, since we only get to chat with you guys once a month, about some of the things you're noticing because of the extreme winter weather we've been having, the extreme cold. Two things in particular. One, would love to get a check on where we're at with our blood shortage. And I would imagine we're having a hard time getting blood donors in the door.
Yeah, Melissa, it's been ongoing after the holidays, and we're starting to catch up, but it's an ongoing thing. The need for blood never changes. It's always there. But distractions and winter storms, when we shut down because of a winter storm, we lose anywhere from 12 to 15 blood drives around the state, translates into hundreds of units of blood that we can't make up. We have to bring them in from other locations if needed, but we're always responsive and always want to do our part. So it's an ongoing process. For the next several weeks, we're going to be facing the winter challenges, and the folks in Connecticut just step up. They really do a great job. Our blood drives are very well attended now. So we encourage everyone to make an appointment at a location nearest to them. It's an opportunity to really save someone's life or impact someone's life in a very, very positive way. And again, another Valentine's Day gift you can give to someone.
Yeah, it's certainly a pretty courageous act, certainly, and to save a life. Just to remind people, Richard, when you give a blood donation, how many people that can help with just one donation?
Blood is there's several components, right? There's platelets, there's plasma, and there's red blood cells. So people have different needs for blood. A trauma patient may need the platelets for immediate blood loss. And so, up to three, but there's multitude of uses for blood. We have a special laboratory or that takes care of rare blood diseases. And so one donation can impact several lives. And it really is that, community spirit that's evidenced by someone stepping up to give blood to someone they don't know, but they can impact that life and save a life potentially. It's really a great story for humanity.
The other thing, Richard, that we are noticing, especially with the extreme cold, is we've heard from fire departments just locally saying that we've seen a real uptick in house fires. And we do. We usually do in the wintertime, certainly, and the holidays and all of that. But in particular, with the extreme cold, we're seeing more and more house fires. And I didn't know if you could comment, because obviously the Red Cross responds and helps out those families.
Yeah, Melissa, our volunteers are responding day and night, several house fires every single day around the state. And it is unfortunate. I give great kudos to our first responders and our fire service for braving the temperatures and the safety impacts of all of that. But it's really devastating to folks. And a lot of what we see is in these extreme cold conditions, people using alternative heating sources, testing, the electrical systems in their house with space heaters, or using a gas oven in their kitchen to warm their spaces. And it's really a challenge to keep those folks safe. They can help. And we saw a recent case where smoke alarm saved a family in Fairfield. But that happens because people are just taking a little bit more initiative, test their smoke alarms, make sure they're viable, and have fresh batteries in them, and making sure that they have a plan to escape. So we're seeing that uptick. It happens every time of year in the colder spells. It worsens. And kudos to our volunteers and our first responders for taking care of those families.
Richard, I just want to remind folks, if people want to learn more, get connected to the Red Cross, whether it's volunteering, blood donations, anything like that, what is the best way to get better connected?
Redcross.org, and folks can volunteer. They can make a financial donation. They can donate blood. They can sign up to take a class. It's redcross.org. And your local chapter is here in Connecticut, and we're here to serve the community, and we appreciate everyone's support.
We always appreciate you, Richard Brannigan, again, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut chapter. Thank you for taking the time to be on WICC and talk about all of this. It really means an awful lot, so we appreciate it.